Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point, high-profile men coming out of the closet as gay. It's been a big week for it, and in two national arenas where it rarely happens, news and sports. CNN anchor Don Lemon has made it official. He's gay and out. Phoenix Suns CEO and NBA fixture Rick Welts has done the same. So has former Villanova basketball star Will Sheridan. It's a rare convergence. This hour on Point, CNN's Don Lemon is with us, and we'll get the views from the world of sports on coming out. You can join the conversation. What's it mean for such high-profile men to come out? Does it matter? Do you want to know? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from New York is CNN anchor Don Lemon, a big figure on the news network. He came out publicly for the first time in a New York Times article posted online Sunday. His new memoir, out next month, is called Transparent. Don Lemon, thank you very much for being with us today.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So it wasn't a secret to your friends, but it wasn't public in this way ever before. How's it going in this first week of being out, Don?
You know, it's really going well. Every day I count and go, okay, day one, I'm still here. Day two, I'm still here. Day three, I'm still here. So it's going pretty well. I actually feel, Tom, I've always been comfortable in my own skin. It's just sort of who I am. And I tell people my skin just fits better now. And I don't have to hide anything or dance around anything. Or, you know, if someone brings something up, I don't have to sort of back away from it. So it feels really good.
Of course, it's one thing to be comfortable in your own skin. And we're glad for everybody and anybody who is. It's another to be out in our culture, even now and in this business. And I want to look at that with you, Don. Stephen Colbert had a little fun with your coming out this week on Tuesday. At the top of his show, here's Stephen Colbert on Don Lemon.
CNN anchor Don Lemon has come out as gay, but can he find the courage to tell his family he's on CNN?
So everybody's got an angle on this. Colbert was having some fun there. But tell us about the process of deciding to do this. It's not as if you were in denial to yourself. It's not as if you were in denial to your friends. But this is something different. You hadn't done it before. What's the calculus? Why now? And what does it mean for somebody in your business, the news business, where there are, I mean, you can count them on less than one hand, the national news figures who are openly gay, Don?
Yeah, and the ones who actually came out because some were outed and others chose to come out on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, you said, what was the catalyst for this, right? Is that the first part of your question?
Yeah.
Well, someone approached me to write a book, and I went back and forth, no, no, no. And then I just realized that I was telling myself no, like a lot of people had told me no when I was young growing up. And I said, why am I doing that to myself? Is it because I don't believe that I can write a book? Do I not have enough to say? And so finally, after, you know, a lot of thought, I said, okay, I'll write a book. And it was supposed to just be an inspirational book about how to be successful and how
okay,
to be, you know,
right.
as
get up early, work hard, and all the rest.
There you go.
That's a little different.
Yes. And then I said, oh my gosh, there are enough of these books, Tom. So I started writing. And as I started writing, these things started pouring out of me, my childhood and stories from my childhood, and then being abused as a kid and all of those things. And then when I got to the part about my sexuality, I said, you know, why? How am I going to write a book about my sexuality and about how to be successful and how to overcome and make it when that's a part of my life as well? The only thing I know, my only formula to success is my own story, and that's what I know best. And so, and part of that story is being a gay man. And so I couldn't write a book, in all honesty, and not put that in. So, you know, I'm talking about it easily now, like it's something that's just easy. But it was a tough decision, and so I decided to put it in. The editors told me to be careful. And then the more I started to read it back, what I had written, I said, you know what? I liked it. I said, this is something that would have helped me as a young person, as a young man, and it wouldn't have taken me 45 years mm-hmm. to say it, to just say the words, because it wasn't as if, as you said, I was in the closet in my personal life, and mm-hmm. even at work, mm-hmm. I didn't run around going, oh, at the office going, oh my gosh, I'm gay. You know
right.
what I mean?
Everybody basically knew there. But
everybody. But it's
different.
It's like, I've been saying this, you know, for years. It's like, you know, people would say, oh my God, we have these great new neighbors who moved in, oh, and they're black. You know, you whispered it or you didn't really talk about it.
Right.
And so it's like, why not? There's nothing wrong with it. People talk about being married and going to the movies with their kids yeah. and doing this with their wives and their husbands and on vacation. Mm-hmm. Why can't I just say it?
But, you know, it's interesting, and it's interesting that the Phoenix Suns CEO, Rick Welts, also coming out this week. There was, of course, and both of you ultimately in the New York Times, the first word of this, your book Transparent, coming out fully next month. But, I mean, David Stern, commissioner of the NBA, got a visit from Rick Welts before this all became public, where he sat
yeah.
down and talked to his boss, in effect, and said, look.
Oh, I did too.
Well, tell us about that. What was it like to sit down with CNN? Because, you know, you're in the news business, but the news business has also become, we all know it, a kind of image business. How did CNN respond?
It's not a kind of image business. It is. I mean, we give people the news, but I mean, don't be fooled. At the end of the day, Tom, people are projecting their fantasies onto the people who are on screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women who are saying, oh my gosh, I love you. I want to marry you.
Mm-hmm.
And now they say, oh my gosh, I'm disappointed. I don't have a shot. Well, I mean, you really didn't have a shot anyway. What are the chances that I'm going to meet you
mm-hmm.
or marry you or mm-hmm. that you're going to have my kids? It's really just it's a fantasy. But, you know, I had had the conversation with a boss a while back because I was dating someone at the office. They wanted to move me from weekdays during the day
right.
to a primetime spot on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, I have a relationship and it's long distance and usually we get to see each other on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, that, you know, I kind of know. And I said, well, you know about me? He goes, yeah, I know. I know about you. And he goes, I know him and he's a nice guy. And he said, you know, if you need me to help move him, you know, in the company or what have you, because we both at CNN, I'll see what I can do. I can't make a promise or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I of course I know, but it's something you don't talk about, right? And I just kind of looked at him like, okay, yeah.
Right.
And so I had that conversation. And it's not that, don't get me wrong, CNN has been extremely supportive. And this was a couple of years ago, but it's been extremely supportive.
But again, there's that dividing line. That's talking in
yes,
house.
Yes.
Now it's part of your public persona. You know, I want to add, here's a little tape if you would listen with us, Don. This is on Monday, NPR turned to your story. And they talked with ABC News President David Westin. And, you know, they asked him about the risk of turning viewers away. He says that that issue, every issue essentially, for somebody in your chair, in your seat in the news business, it comes up in executive meetings. Here's ABC's president, news president, David Westin.
When you're talking about particularly on-air personalities, and this is a problem with these jobs, you'd be shocked at what you talk about. You talk about hairstyles, you talk about accents. So you talk about everything. And so among those things, yeah, we would talk from time to time about the question of sexual orientation and whether it would make a difference.
Was there a corporate conversation with you or about you, Don, on this front? And should there be? Is that fair?
A corporate conversation?
Well, there's David Westin saying in executive meetings they talk about everything about people like you, including, you
yeah,
know,
but
hair
I'm not,
and accent and sexuality and
listen,
how that's going to play.
I'm not in those meetings, so I don't know what's mm-hmm. talked about. All I know is that CNN has been very supportive of me and has told me what they will support me in any way that they can. And what their concern for me is that I'm okay with it, that I'm going to be okay because of what they sort of anticipated the reaction to be and the interest. And I think that they were right on. They knew it was going to be a big deal. I was like, I don't think anybody will really care. It's not that big a deal. But they, I mean, so far CNN, they were just concerned about me. And that's what they say. And I believe them, but I'm not in the board meetings. I'm not in the boardrooms and behind closed doors when they make those decisions. And I'm sure they talk about it because they talk about it to us outwardly. Mm-hmm. That tie doesn't look great on television. That suit isn't dark enough. Mm-hmm. You need to get your hair cut. It is a visual medium, and so why wouldn't they talk about those things? And we're fighting for every viewer. I can't be naive and say, you know, I know how the world should be and how we would like the world to be, but it's not a completely utopian place. And people do come with their own preconceptions and their notions, and they do, you know, bring their own filters. And so we can't control that. But we are fighting for every viewer. And if I do something that tarnishes the image of CNN or my own image, that will make viewers turn away from me, then I have to be aware of that. I have to be aware of the possibility of that. But I have to tell you, you know, it's only been, 4 days now?
Right. Brand new news.
And it's been, I've had overwhelmingly positive responses from it. And I don't know how that's going to translate to the Nielsen ratings, you know, when I'm on television. But I do know, and this isn't my ego, this is just being aware of how the business works, that people who have had me scheduled on their show have moved up the time that they put the show on. They've promoted it more because somewhere they are realizing that there's some interest in this type of story. And it just happens to be me. So I don't, and in many places, you know, who the publisher of the book pitched me as a guest to come on when the book was released, or when, you know, this week as I'm doing press here in New York and then LA tomorrow, who said no. And then when the New York Times article came out, they scrambled, can we get Don on today? Hey, we need him live in New York. We need him on. And you know, and they say, well, we offered you an exclusive and you didn't think there was interest. And now all of a sudden you're interested in it, because I think there is an undercurrent of people who are rooting for people just to be themselves and just to be allowed to be themselves. I mean, after all, Tom, that's what our country was built on. We love supporting the underdog, and we love freedom at the end of the day. I have to believe that.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking today about coming out of the closet, gay and high profile in the world of news and sports. It's been a big week for that. CNN anchor Don Lemon out with a new memoir, Transparent. Also the news, hey, people, his friends know it, but now the public knows it. He's gay. And it was the Phoenix Suns CEO coming out as well, Rick Welts. He's been a big figure in the NBA for a long time. Here he is on Don Lemon's network, CNN, on why he waited so long.
The fear that drove that was that if that aspect of my life became public, that it would limit my ability to follow what was really my passion, to be a part of team sports and to be a part of everything that I love about it. And I was concerned that disclosure could limit what I would be able to do in my career.
In the world of sports, and the price of not doing that came in personal relationships and candor, said Rick Welts.
There was a part of me that I never let people know. And I think that really limits the quality of a relationship you can have if you want to be a true friend or really sincerely care about somebody else. And I think that probably was the hardest part, not being able to have an authentic relationship with people that somehow they all knew there was a barrier there that nobody was going to cross.
Phoenix Suns CEO Rick Welts there on ESPN talking about his decision to come out. Don Lemon of CNN joins us today from New York, and it's great to have him with us. His new memoir is Transparent. David Steele is with us right now from Laurel, Maryland, columnist for Sporting News and SportingNews.com. David Steele, thanks for being with us. Welcome back to On Point.
Thanks very much for having me back. And it's great having you on, Don. I'm really honored to be on here with you.
Hey, David, thank you. Same here. Hey, I know you want to talk to David. Can I say something really quickly?
Of course,
here, Tom?
Yeah.
When you said, does it take courage, and whether or not people care, you know, people will say they don't care, but then, you know, they kind of do in a sense, because otherwise David and I wouldn't be on your show today.
Mm-hmm.
But does it take courage? Well, all I have to say is, if it didn't, why aren't there more people who are out in professional sports, in broadcasting, in entertainment. When it comes to acting, there are hardly any Hollywood actors. There are hardly any professional athletes, and those there are any professional CEOs who are out. Mm-hmm. Those businesses don't defy the odds and the number of gay people in average everyday society.
They don't reflect it. And so that means that there must be more. So, yeah, it's, I mean, it is funny. David Donny, I'm looking at these latest poll numbers. This is from the Pew Research Center. A solid majority of Americans now say that homosexuality should be accepted rather than discouraged. But still, David Steele, in the news world of Don Lemon, in the sports world that you know so well, this is something uncommon. Does it take courage, David? Is that the right word for what Rick Welts has done this week?
I think that's the perfect word, actually, because it almost diminishes it to say that so few have come out, almost none have come out. And even when you look at the ones like Rick Welts and like Will Sheridan, the former Villanova basketball player, mm-hmm. and even if you go to the extent of John Amici, who played in the NFL, rather the NBA, and who's now out of the league, and Essa Twala, who played in the NFL, Billy Beane, who played in Major League Baseball, when they came out and when they spoke publicly about it and about their lives and about their sexuality, it was always after they had finished their time on the national stage. They were either retired or away from the majors or away from the main part of their lives in big time sports. And even Rick Welts, I mean, as somebody who's covered the NBA since the late 1980s, I mean, I've known Rick Welts. I've talked to him several times, got to know him. Mm-hmm. He was a huge part of the NBA's growth during that era when it elevated to the status that it's at now. And he never exposed any of that during that time. He's been on the stage for something like 20 years, and he didn't feel comfortable to talk about it until now. And he's one of the biggest, really the biggest figures in the growth of the NBA in the league's history.
Well, I wanted to ask because Don Lemon's describing how within the industry, not out in public, but within the industry, within his shop there at CNN, he has found acceptance. What about in the sports world? I wonder how that's gone. I mean, we've got a little sound on this from Charles Barkley. I'll share it with you all. He's been quoted saying, "I'd rather have a gay guy who can play than a straight guy
right.
who can't play." That's pretty straight up. And here he is. This is on The Fan Radio in Washington, D.C., saying, this was on Tuesday after the Rick Welts news, saying he doesn't like commentary suggesting that male athletes are all homophobic.
Every college player, every pro player in any sport is probably played with a gay person. They're not going to do anything in a locker room. Doesn't work like that.
David Steele, what about it? Within the world of sports, news like this. I mean, here's Rick Welts, but he's management. Here's Will Sheridan this week, but he's not playing anymore. Can you be, out openly gay in the sports world and, live a fine life?
Well, I'll tell you, Charles, he's right to an extent. I'm sure that there have been players throughout the history of all sports who have known gay teammates and who have let their own teammates know about themselves that way. Mm-hmm. But it certainly has not been an open thing in any sense of the word, and the way it has been in other industries. I mean, there may be a lot of teammates who maybe didn't know or went out of their way not to know. And even within that context, within the team, that's one thing. The public is a totally different story, because as accepting as Americans might be, according to the polls, to this in society in general,
yep.
and in other specific walks of life, in sports, it really is a totally different story. And the way to prove that is if you look at the comment boards, you listen to the
yeah.
sports talk shows,
yes.
you see the things like the letters to the editors and the emails and just the general reaction and response. And a lot of times the things that the commentators themselves say with perfect ease and perfect comfort mm-hmm. About male athletes and about female athletes who have come out. I mean, it's yeah. a really ugly, ugly world out there in the way that they treat athletes who they even, for whatever reason, either think are gay or want to accuse to be gay or want to be portrayed as being gay. It's you know, being within the team and within the sport is one story, but I think the general public is going to be even harder. I mean, it's really kind of a double-edged sword for any athlete who's in that situation.
Don Lemon, you're a news guy. Yeah. You look at situations and sum them up and analyze them. If you had been in the sports world instead of the news world, do you think you would have had the courage to come out and say it there?
Or the whatever?
Yes, or the whatever.
Well, as they would probably say in the sports world. Right. I don't know, because I'm not in that world. It was tough enough to come out in a world that is not as hyper-masculine as professional athletes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I would have had the courage, but I'm a pretty gutsy guy, so maybe. But, you know, by the time I'm 45 years old now, I think I would have been either in management now or probably right, sitting on television like Charles Barkley. I do have to say, though, that, you know, I've covered the story of athletes saying, you know, calling people derogatory names for years. I remember it being in Philly years ago and covering Allen Iverson doing it. And then we just had
Kobe Bryant
do it. And someone else. Yep. Yeah. And so, you know, it's even though they'll say, oh, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it as a, well, it's still a slight, right? And you're still using that word as a slight. It's like using the N word. Mm-hmm. And as far as Charles Barkley, I love Charles. Charles called me on Monday. I was traveling. I haven't had a chance to have a long conversation with him, but the gist of our 1 minute, 2 minute conversation we had, he said, I support you. If you need me, you know where to call me. You've got my cell phone. I just run into him about 3 days before in the grocery store.
Wow.
And Charles is just a unique person who loves and accepts everyone and is larger than life. And wouldn't it be great if everyone in professional sports was like Charles Barkley?
Here's on Monday, this was the former Villanova basketball player Will Sheridan. He came out on ESPN. He's been off the team for 4 years now, but says his teammates knew he was gay. He says it's time to let the rest of the world know.
I feel as though my personal journey is at a point where I can help others. I'm kind of over it. I mean, everyone who's close to me knows. Everyone who matters to me knows. I'm just at a point where someone else can learn from my experience.
Will Sheridan there on Monday. David Steele is with us from Sporting News and SportingNews.com. Don Lemon is with us, CNN anchor, out with his new memoir, Transparent, and with some news about his personal life. David, Don, let's turn to our listeners. Kentucky, Mount Vernon, Kentucky, Peggy is calling. Hi, Peggy, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hi.
First, let me say I am a 73-year-old great-grandmother of three.
Okay.
Who has been raised in Kentucky.
So congratulations.
Need to know that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, congratulations. I have on the back of my car a bumper sticker which says, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Mm.
And I've got to commend these people who are coming out very plainly and calmly and indicating a part of who they are. Revolutionary, I think, means to turn around. Revolution is to turn around. And I do believe the only way we're going to turn around some of this retarded thinking that's out there is if everybody begins to tell the truth or at least not deny the truth. Mm-hmm. About who they are. I'm a straight lady. That's how I got all those children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
All right.
You have a brain, right?
Yeah, I do. It didn't get decayed by all that child
rearing. Okay. Oh, Peggy, we're happy to hear that. I appreciate your bumper sticker. It's true that telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And your call. Let me get one more if I may. Lori. Thank you, Peggy. Lori in Austin, Texas. You're on the air, Lori.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, my comment was just that if the CNN boardroom is interested in what the public thinks, I applaud them for supporting Mr. Lemon. And so I would just like to say that if they are, you know, looking at this as something that might be negative for their station, for their broadcast system, they shouldn't. This is a wonderful thing for them to support him.
So there's a thumbs up from the viewers' side of the television, and we're to the CNN board. Lori, I appreciate that. Thank you for your call,
Lori,
as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it more than you.
No question.
I don't need to interrupt. I apologize for that. But, John, I guess it's, you said you were 45. I'm 46, so we're right, grew up around the same time. CNN has always been known for being a network that's been ahead of the times on a lot of things. I mean, I remember, you know, as I was coming along in the business, you always saw more people of color, more and more women on CNN than any other network. They were way ahead of their time on that, especially the way they were sort of breaking in the cable. And from my years of covering the NBA, I saw them as almost being of the same mindset, being way ahead of the times on issues of color and race and ethnicity and all the things that baseball and the NFL and other sports were just really, they were taking their time or trying to avoid it completely. In a sense, it's not that big a surprise that this is happening on CNN and in the NBA. It's the other, you know, it's the major networks and the other major sports. I mean, the NFL is by far the biggest sport in this country and maybe even in the world at this point. You know, the really truly mainstream organizations in these two fields, and probably the same is true in a whole bunch of other fields, you know, they have a lot of catching up to do. But they're going to be the ones who are going to have to guide this in a big way, because the ones like the CNNs and the NBA, they've already laid the groundwork. Somebody else now has to build on it. Mm.
Let me get a call from Nashville here. Lucius is calling. Lucius, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yes, and Tom, I really love your show. Maybe you need to do a show on how great hosts should be in art like you.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, Lucius, but thanks for calling. What do you think on this score?
Don, I really love your professionalism. I have seen you on CNN, and I try to get a chance, every chance I get to see you do your job. You do a great job. You and I are in the same age bracket. Of course, as a preacher, I am against the act. I love the person. I love you as an individual. I must say I am against the act. Several years ago when I started out preaching, well, I was into preaching a pretty good while, had a brother in Christ to come up to me and share that he was gay. I didn't go off. I didn't get preachy, but he and I worked through some things, and to this day we are still great friends, and he's still a brother in Christ and everything. But my thing is that I am a preacher, but I don't get preachy and start just throwing scriptures. But at the same time, you know, I love you as a person, brother, and I hope in my lifetime I get a chance to see you. You can teach me something about journalism.
Lucia, stick with us for a second. Don Lemon, you know, there is a gracious outreach to you from Lucius in Nashville, Tennessee. But I wonder how you take it. He accepts you, you know, as a brother, including in your gayness, but he's against the act. Now, you know, I don't know exactly how you want to define that, but how does that strike your ear, Don?
Well,
the act is it the act of being, you know.
There's a whole thing, and I appreciate what you said. The thing is that I really don't want to get into a discussion about religion and about you know, scriptures and all of that, because it's sort of a, you can't win. But I do have to say this, after thinking about this and living it for such a long time, that the Bible says a lot of things about a lot of things, including slavery, including the subjugation of women, including being able to sell your wife and your daughter. And people have used during and after the civil rights movement, the Bible to promote slavery and separation, and to promote division among races, because they point to Bible verses that say it's okay to have slaves. It's okay for people to be separated. It's okay for people to be segregated. It's okay to subjugate women. And all I have to say is that in society, we have moved past that. We've agreed that it's not okay to subjugate women. It's not okay to sell women. Women aren't property. We've agreed that it's not okay to have slaves, that it's not okay for people to be segregated. And so I think as a society, we are moving past discrimination when it comes to gay people as well. And I think we need to agree that it's not okay to discriminate, and we need to move on with the same vein that we've moved on with slavery, with segregation, and with subjugating women.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about coming out of the closet, gay and high profile, in the world of news and sports. Don Lemon is with us, CNN anchor and author of the new memoir, Transparent. David Steele is with us, columnist for Sporting News and SportingNews.com. Let's hear a little bit here from in the sports world, of course. There was the Kobe Bryant sort of flinging a hurtful epithet around in response to a referee's call in April. Used a gay slur during a basketball game. Shortly after that, Bryant and some of his Lakers teammates appeared in a public service announcement about hateful language.
There are all kinds of different people in the world. That's what makes the world special. So whether someone is different than you.
And race?
Ethnicity?
Political beliefs?
Religion?
Or sexual orientation. Words can be hurtful. Replace them with understanding, compassion, and acceptance. Let's make this a better world for all of us. Because we're all in this together.
Public service announcement from the Lakers after Kobe's outburst. Of course, it's not exactly that simple. That's scripted for them. Here's the Phoenix Suns CEO, Rick Welts, telling ESPN on Tuesday. Now, he's come out as gay himself this week, but he says he cuts Kobe some slack. On the other hand, the sports world, like maybe the news world, is still a complicated place, can be, when it comes to sexuality.
There was no plan to do it. He did something he regrets. He's apologized for it. And, you know, in my mind, it was a teaching moment. At that point in time, he was trying to be hurtful. And that's the thing that he came up with that he thought would be the most impactful. And that says that we still have a ways to go.
A ways to go. Don Lemon, David Steele, stand by. A lot of listeners calling in here. So many. Andy in Providence, Rhode Island. Andy, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thanks, Tom. And as usual, an excellent and thoughtful program. I'm going to restrict my comments to the news, and I do admire both Mr. Steele and Mr. Lemon for their courage in coming out. However,
well, that was Mr. Lemon anyway. Rick, David Steele is here to tell us about Rick Welts in the sporting world, but we take your point, Andy.
So my point is that. I think that Mr. Lemon's comments simply distract from the quality of the news. I'm frankly tired of hearing about the personalities of news anchors, and I think this serves as another reminder that the news, for want of a better term, has been dumbed down over the last few years. Frankly, my ideal are people like the PBS news anchors, Jim Lehrer, Gwen Ifill, and others, who basically just give the news. I think the problem with the current network news anchors and cable news anchors is that their personalities get in the way of presenting us a solid, objective, in-depth news program, and that's my concern and my comment.
Andy, let us pick it up right there. Don Lemon, respond to that. Purely, if you can do it purely in professional terms, I mean, you hear the complaint. Andy maybe, you know, didn't know, doesn't want to know that much about the news people serving him. Just wants the news, please. What about that?
Well, I think if you watch my program, pretty much you just get the news. I think that if someone, you know, Jim Lehrer saying, you know, Happy Mother's Day to his wife on his program, or talking about his family in a newspaper article or a radio broadcast, which I have heard him before, that people don't take offense to that. So I think that it has a lot to do with how we're programmed and what we think about the subject. When I'm on the news and presenting the news, I'm not presenting a news with a sign on my face, or with my boyfriend sitting next to me, or wearing a dress, or whatever you may think about what a gay person is. I'm sitting there reading the news. And I do think that even our iconic journalists, from Edward R. Murrow to Tom Brokaw to any one of those people, had personalities that showed things were written about them and their families. They talk about their wives. So I'm no different than that. I'm just letting you know how I... about me, and I'm just being honest about it because I think it's important. So I think it's a preconception that we have about people. Now, I do think the news is evolving with the advent of social media and what have you, and it's a bit different. But our news personalities have always had personalities. That's why they're called news personalities. And I don't think it's any different for a straight person to a gay person. I think the perception is different.
Of course, it is. I mean, we've got people responding online here, Don, who many welcoming your move and coming out, but others saying they can't wait until we get beyond this, until this doesn't need to be a subject for conversation. I guess what they
and
mean
I
is...
And I can't either. I wouldn't have to do this. And I wouldn't be on your radio program if there wasn't a need for it. But listen, let's not be coy about this. The reason I did this is, one reason I did this is because thousands of kids every year, teenagers, try to harm themselves, if not do it, like jump off a bridge because people ostracize them because they're gay. Like, I dedicated the book to Tyler Clementi because of the attitudes, and I hate to say this about your caller, but your caller hasn't thought about it enough. Because of attitudes like that, because of the perception you have about people, Gwen Ifill, who I know very well, has a personality, and people have written about her personality, and she talks about her personality, and she talks about her family. But when it comes to gay people, there is a double standard. And that's the thing that we need to examine more than projecting what we want news people to be. News people are just that. People. Anyone in any profession is a person. And don't get it twisted either. If you're a construction worker, you have worked and probably are working with gay people. If you work at NPR, you probably are working with gay people. If you are a teacher, you are working with gay people. No matter the profession, if you are a professional athlete, you are working alongside a gay person. So we need to get over that. I mean, it's time to move on. And I'm not going to bring my opinions and my attitude to a broadcast, just because I say that I'm gay, it doesn't preclude me. It doesn't make me lose the ability to be objective, and it certainly doesn't make me lose my brain. Mm.
The book dedicated to Tyler Clementi, of course, the Rutgers University student who threw himself off the George Washington Bridge after he was put up on YouTube in some kind of gay
compromising
sex situation,
position. Yeah,
as they say. It's interesting. A few other news people are well known to be out. Rachel Maddow is out. She was quoted recently in The Guardian saying, "I'm sure other people in the news business have considered reasons why they're not doing why they're doing what they're doing. That is, staying in the closet." But she's quoted saying there, "But I do think that if you're gay, you have a responsibility to come out." And The Guardian says she said that very carefully. She went on a couple days later, when there was a lot of talk in the blogosphere about that comment, wondering, you know, who's she talking about, what. And she said she's got three basic beliefs about the ethics of coming out. One, she says gay people, generally speaking, have a responsibility to our own community and to future generations of gay people to come out if and when we feel that we can. Two, people should decide for themselves. And three, closeted people shouldn't be outing other gay people unless those are gay people who are preying on the gay community but not, you know, coming out themselves. Yeah. Sammy in St. Augustine, Florida. Sammy, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thanks, Tom, for taking my call. Yeah, well, I guess my real comment is I'm a gay truck driver, and I'm telling you that in certain parts of society, more enlightened parts, it may be safe and acceptable to come out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you right now, doing what I do for a living and out here around the people that I'm around a lot, it would probably physically endanger me if word got out that I was gay. So I stay deep undercover. And you know, it'd be great if someday society does get to a point where it's accepted at all levels, but I think that there's different levels of acceptance in different levels of society.
Sammy, what does it mean to you then when people like Rick Welts or Will Sheridan or Don Lemon with us today, when they come out, does that have significance for you?
Well, you know, it does, and I'm glad that they can do it. And then again, on another part of me, I'm a little bit jealous, you know, because like I say, I couldn't let the word get out with the people that I work with or anybody in my company or anything like that, because there's not a doubt in my mind that it would have an effect on my livelihood and possibly my physical well-being.
Sammy, I appreciate your call very much. Appreciate it a lot. Don, you know, there's
he's right.
Yeah.
He's right. And you should. That's why I say you should do it in your own time, because, you know, I don't, or I'm sure Rick, we don't know, or Rachel, we don't know what other people's stories are and what conditions they live in, and it may be harmful for a young person or an old person to come out, so you have to do it at your own time. And I think that's why I came out, is for people like your caller. is because if I can come out and be visible and feel safe and comfortable, then every little drip, drip, drip helps. And you heard him. He said the thing at the end, I thought it was the most important. He said he's a little bit jealous.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't want to walk and live in their own truth? Who doesn't want to be who they are? Because you heard Rick say in the interview with on CNN.
Yes.
He said, because you don't bring your whole self to relationships.
If you're not authentic.
And if you have a family, you're hiding. It's not authentic. If you're hiding from a family member, it's not authentic. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you should come out, because who knows how you're going to be harmed, how your family's going to treat you, whatever. That's your own decision. But until you are completely honest and you live in truth, imagine holding something from your spouse that you're not honest about, how that feels, how that affects you personally, how it affects your relationship. Imagine going through life like that. It's not authentic. And so that's why I say, when I say it's disingenuous, and it's a little, in silence, you're being disingenuous about being when you're in your silence. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. And I'm speaking for myself. I'm not saying anything bad about someone else who has not come out. I'm talking about how I felt and my experience in being in the closet.
Let me get one more trucker, if I may. Eastbound on I-40, Amos is calling. Hi, Amos, you're on the air.
Yes, sir, and I really thank you. Yes, this is Amos. I'd just like to say that I give a big thumbs up to all of your participants today, especially Mr. Don Lemon. I'm very proud of you, brother, for your character. And I think character means more than orientation any day. And I think the words of Dr. Martin Luther King said we should be judged by the contents of our character. And so you're a person who are very positive. You know, in the public image, you promote positive things. It's just like saying, well, my goodness, doesn't warrant as much as your goodness because I believe differently. I have a different faith. If you're doing good, you should be rewarded for doing good. And I see you as doing good all around, and I applaud you. And I'm very proud of you as an African-American, and I applaud your success.
Amos, I appreciate your call. Our time is short here, forgive me. But I want let me put that angle here to David Steele, African-American, Don Lemon, African-American. Don, in your interview with the New York Times, you said that, there's a kind of special risk that comes along with this as a black man being public about this. You're quoted saying it's quite different for an African-American male. It's about the worst thing you can be in black culture. You're taught you have to be a man. You have to be masculine. In the black community, they think you can pray the gay away.
Yeah.
I'll come to both of you on this. But, Don, first to you, what about the special challenge as an African-American male of your now public profile here?
I'm going to be short because I want to hear what David has to say. But I'll tell you, all you have to do is listen to the first caller, the guy who said he was a preacher, right? And I would assume, could be wrong, that he was African-American. Mm-hmm. And I'm dealing with it now in my own family. My aunt said to my mother, why does Don have to come out and say this and air his dirty laundry? There are plenty of churches in Atlanta he can go to get counsel. So there is a special thing in the African-American community. But someone wrote something the other day, I thought was just key. I read it last night at dinner, and it said, if the African-American community can accept what Michael Vick did, if the African-American community can accept what Michael Jackson was accused of, if the African, and on and on and on, then why can't they accept a positive person who is thriving, who is healthy, who's happy, who's doing good things, and who is a positive role model for our community? Then that tells us something about our community and what we need to re-examine. And I think that goes to the larger community as well, to our entire country. If you can accept and forgive people for things that are crimes, why can't you accept someone for simply who they are?
David Steele, what about in the sports world? The American sports world is also heavily an African-American world in many, many quarters.
Yeah, you're getting a combination of the intense masculinity that's always in the sports world and that image of masculinity that comes along with being an African-American, period. And it's exasperating if you are black, whether you're male or female, and you run into this, and if you're straight particularly, and you have to run into this all the time from your friends, your colleagues, possibly your family members, who come to you and say these things so casually and so comfortably. And a lot of times, like we've seen so many examples of already just in this hour, trying to back it up with scripture. And you look at them and you have to tell them, it's like, if a white person said that to you about black people and tried to back it up with scripture, would you just stand there and accept it? And how could you possibly accept that? How could you expect gay people you know, among us to accept that, you know, just that comfortably. And it just drives you crazy because when you talk about, no, treat everybody equally, treat everybody the way that you have been demanding to be treated, you know, for centuries, and to hear that sort of backlash and for them to think that it's completely justified, it is frustrating. That's not universal, thank God. And I know that I get kind of uncomfortable just with the term black community anyway because it sort of makes you think that every black person walks around thinking the exact same way. But, Don, I know that I understand what you mean by that because you encounter it so much and you wonder, can there possibly be any support among my own people, especially after everything that we live with and grow up with, you know, throughout our whole lives and our ancestors' lives, and to know that, you know, there's so much fight back from all these others that say, no, well, we don't accept that. We'll fight back against it if it's white people, but we'll heartily accept it and shrug it off and think it's okay when it comes to gays. And that has to make it 10 times worse for any athlete who wants to come out in sports.
You guys are great to be with us.
Yeah, that double-edged sword.
Don, our time is short, and David, but Don, let me come finally to you. You're the one who's coming out here. What do you hope comes out of this? And you coming out and others over time, what do you hope, what fruit do you hope comes from it?
I just hope that young people of all backgrounds realize that they are okay, that they're not going to hell because of who they are, that they don't have to, you know, I don't know your community or their community, hide who they are, but I just want them to know it's okay and that they're not alone and they should reach out and talk to someone before they harm themselves or try to kill themselves. And I hope that this starts a conversation in the world of acceptance, people learning to accept each other. That's really all I care about in this whole process.
Don Lemon, CNN Newsroom Weekend Primetime Anchor, author of the new memoir, Transparent. Don Lemon, thank you very much for your transparency today. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
And David Steele, it's always great to talk with you about the world of sports, David, with Sporting News and SportingNews.com. And here today, a little beyond that world as well. David, thanks as always for your time and insights.
Thanks so much for inviting me again.
Listeners, thanks for your calls and insights as well today. You are the most important voices here. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.